Here in studio by the chairperson of the Public Services Committee of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, Kevin Callanan, who was involved in those all-night negotiations. So thank you for coming in this lunchtime, Kevin Callanan. This is a deal which you describe as a significant improvement on the pay terms of building momentum. You're recommending it, presumably, then to public sector union members.
No, well, we're advising our affiliate unions that they should take steps to consider the terms and, you know, ask their executives to indicate how they wish to proceed. In most cases, I imagine, Brian, that will be that unions will proceed to individually ballot their own members, and we've agreed this morning that we will meet again on the 7th of October and that we will make a collective decision where we aggregate the various votes based on the weighting and the size of each of the individual unions.
Was this the best deal you could get?
I think it was the best deal that could be achieved from the negotiation. There's no question in my mind that it was the best deal that was available last night. I have to say, Brian, and in my capacity as President of Congress, I'm really struck over the last while by the extent to which individual workers and citizens generally are suffering as a result of the cost of living. So we obviously went into that negotiation with ambitions. We didn't achieve all we want, but I think we secured the best deal that was possible from a negotiation, and in circumstances where we had to mobilize our members and get them ready for ballots on industrial action, I think it was an important decision this morning that was taken to pause those ballots to allow for a consultation with members on the terms, and we'll see where we go from there.
You make the point that Michael McGrath and the government have been repeatedly, and I quote you here, repeatedly promising to supplement pay measures with other cost of living supports, principally now in the forthcoming budget. You heard what the minister had to say there about that. What do you say to him?
Well, what I say to him, I think, is that when ordinary public servants come to ballot and make their voting decision on these terms, they're going to take into account the extent to which the government deliver on their commitments, so that on tomorrow week when we meet at the Labour Employer Economic Forum, we are going to want to hear to what extent there are going to be improvements in services, to what extent are there going to be improvements in welfare supports, to what extent are the cost of living measures that he referred to in general going to be concretized. And we're going to expect, I think, that members will be looking to the budget as well to see to what extent there will be changes there that will make it easier for them to cope with the increased.
But just in terms of the timing of this, as the ballot gets underway, will union members have an opportunity to actually see what Michael McGrath comes up with in terms of this cost of living package before they vote?
Well, I think it will be very important that government clarify quickly, and indeed at the Labour Employer Economic Forum next week, there's an opportunity for them to do that to an extent. Obviously, the budget, as the Minister said, is 4 weeks away. Our balloting period will run well past the budget, so I think there will be an opportunity for members who wish to take all of this into account.
The Minister also referred to concerns and on the part of the government of not ending up with wages chasing inflation. And now your interest and your responsibility is a public service, but Congress represents private employees and private sector unions as well. Is this a green light for workers in the private sector to start to look for increases along a similar line to that which has been negotiated now by the public sector unions?
I hope it is, Brian, because, you know, we need to scotch this myth once and for all. When ministers and others talk about wages chasing inflation, they're talking or referring back to a period 40 or 50 years ago. And what's the big difference? The big difference is that the share of wealth going to labour 40 or 50 years ago was much greater than it is now. And that's what's driven the inequality that we have in society now. So we're not saying that, just like the minister, we're not saying that wages is what it's all about, but wages and employers who can afford to pay must make a greater contribution to the cost of living crisis. It's simply unacceptable that we have profiteers or companies who are making very good profits not doing wage deals that are fair to their workers.
And what about workers in businesses which can't afford to pay? We had IBEC on this program warning yesterday that the rise in energy costs, and it's been eye-watering, is threatening the very viability of many businesses.
I don't think you'll find a trade union official who, when it's pointed out clearly and the facts show it to be the case that a company is in difficulty, that they won't take that into account. Because if they don't, they're actually doing a disservice to their members. No trade union official wants to see an employer go under. But ordinary citizens can see what's happening. They can see the massive profits that are being made in right across the economy in different areas, but in the energy sector. Look at the price of hotel rooms in the country compared to what it was a few years ago. So there's profiteering taking place, and that's not acceptable in circumstances where workers aren't getting a fair deal. So I don't think we should apologise for looking for a fair outcome in relation to wages, and I certainly won't do so in this case.
Kevin Callanan of the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, thanks very much for talking to us here on the News at One.